Lord this morning. Psalm 14, verse 13 is what I'm going to read. I want to really encourage us today to take notes. I know a lot of you have pens in your chairs. I want to encourage you to take notes this morning because I think this, what we're going to talk about today can impact every one of us in here in some kind of way, in some kind of situation that we've went through in our lives, we're going through now, and that can cause us to stumble around. And this is what the title of the sermon today is, Stumbling Around. But it's Romans chapter 14, verse 13. It says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning that we could worship you, Father, and as we're approaching Christmas, Lord, I thank you for sending your son to live a perfect life here on this earth and as an example for us and how we should treat others and how we should live, Father. And that your son went to the cross and paid our penalty. Our sins were put on him. And what wondrous love is that, that he paid the penalty for our sin, Father. That we put our faith and trust in him. We are counted righteous by you, and our sins are not counted against us. So I thank you for that this morning. Lord, be with us this morning. Let us open our hearts, our minds, Father. Let's not focus on anybody else this morning but ourselves and where we're at. In our walk with you, in how we do this, Father, and today, Father, let us humble ourselves to you, Lord. And we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So my kids, I got the title of this sermon this morning because my kids love watching. Well, I guess I've kind of adapted them to this, but any of you remember the old movie? And I think it was made probably in the 70s, but I remember watching as a kid, Old Yeller. How many of you remember Old Yeller? Hunter absolutely loves the movie Old Yeller because it's got like everything little boys want. There's a dog and there's catfish and there's bears and there's hunting, and Hunter loves Old Yeller. And there's one part in that movie that I was thinking about this. You guys remember Old Rose? Old Rose in the movie's their cow, and she goes off to have a calf. And she has this calf, and they get her back home, and old Rose is just ornery. She doesn't want to get milked, and they had to have, Travis was his name, called Yeller over and said, keep her still, and she settled down so he could milk her. Well, later on in that movie, you saw a scene where old Rose was stumbling around, and she couldn't keep her feet. She was just sick. And they thought, they weren't for sure what was wrong, but Travis had talked to another cattleman that said, if you ever see a cow that's stumbling around and foaming and just don't know what she's doing, she's probably gotten, they called it hydrophobia at the time, but it was rabies. And old Rose was just stumbling around and she couldn't keep her feet, and they ultimately had to shoot her and burn the carcass is what they did. But Rose was stumbling around, she couldn't keep her feet, and she just didn't know where she was, and it was a horrible thing. And I got to thinking about that this week, and usually when I'm preparing a sermon, I'll usually start really early in the week, and I've been working on Christmas stuff, thinking about Christmas stuff, but then, I wanted to get back one more week to stuff that I think guys in the church can cause us to stumble around. And it can cause our walk to get where we stumble around, and we can stumble around with each other. And that's what I want to talk to you today. One of the most dangerous things in the church, I think, and one of the most dangerous things that can happen in our lives, and something that will cause us to stumble around just like old Rose and not get where we want to go in our walk with Christ and each other, is unforgiveness. And so when we start talking about forgiveness and reconciliation, I want to define forgiveness this morning. And the definition of forgiveness in Webster's Dictionary is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, a flaw, or a mistake. The synonyms of that are to pardon, excuse, or absolve. It's basically to feel no resentment towards the person anymore, or harbor no grudge. And this is one of the most difficult things that we, concepts in the Bible to understand. It's one of the hardest things, because our human nature, when somebody sins against us, our human nature is one of two things usually. It's usually to fight it out and to stand and have, let's fight about it, let's go at it, let's go to town, right? Or it's to run away from the situation. It's usually a fight or a flight kind of mentality, right? And that's usually what we do. So this concept of forgiveness is really completely foreign to us. And unless our relationship with Christ is where it needs to be, and we have a personal relationship with Christ, it's impossible. I mean, forgiveness is impossible. So I want to talk about some things. I'm going to use an outline that's very similar to something that I talked to you all about 2 years ago. And there's some things that I want you to remember about forgiveness, and I think we need to talk about this morning. And the first thing, I want you to remember this first point as we go through this message today. I'm going to refer back to this quite a bit. And I think if we want to be able to forgive others, we need to remember this first point, and that's God's forgiveness towards us. The first thing with forgiveness, when we talk about it today, is the first thing that you have to acknowledge when you want God's forgiveness from you is that you are in need of forgiveness from a sin that you've done wrong. So if you want God's forgiveness, you have to first start with the basic concept of that I'm in need of forgiveness, that I've sinned. And when we sin, here's the deal, even today when we sin, if I was to do something, I always love picking on my front row, but if I was to do something to violate you, naturally if somebody sins against me, I look at it like they have violated me, right? But we have to get out of that mindset and that they have violated who? God. They violated God, not me. But this is God's forgiveness towards us, we have to remember that. And in knowing that we are in need of forgiveness, it starts with that. And I think we need to remember how we compare ourselves, all right? It is very, very easy, guys, for me to compare myself to people in this world, and I'm going to come out looking pretty good. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, one of the most famous, notorious, evil people in our country died. His name was Charles Manson. And Manson had a cult that was called the Manson Family. And they committed a series of murders that were just grotesque. Charles Manson never actually physically, I believe, killed somebody with his own hands, but he ordered it. And this family, and he was sentenced to prison for the rest of his life. And he ultimately died a couple of weeks ago in California prison. A lot of you probably heard that. But here's the thing. Now, I'm using an extreme example, but if I compare myself to Charles Manson, I look good. I mean, I'm going to come out looking good. I don't run the Manson. I've never done that, right? Or, you know, there can be people here that you compare yourself to me, you're going to make yourself look good. Because I don't do some of the things that he does, or I'm not a loudmouth, or I don't, whatever, right? So when we compare ourselves to other people, we're always going to come out looking good. We're always going to make sure that we look good. We need to first stop comparing ourselves to other people and start comparing ourselves to God. And when you start doing a comparison of yourself and the sins and issues that you have in your life, and you start comparing yourself to a holy God, you humble yourself. Because you know, man, I'm guilty. I don't look so good. I got issues. So the first thing we have to do is stop comparing ourselves to each other and start comparing ourselves to God. And when you do that, you humble yourself and you fall down on your face. And that's where some of these scripture comes in. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So no matter how you want to make yourself look today, and when I say you, I want you to understand I'm talking to myself too, okay? When I start comparing myself to God, I don't look good. I got sin. There's sin in our lives. Hebrews 9:22. So what did God do about this, right? I said this in a prayer just a second ago. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So God had to do something about that because no amount of good that I could do in my life could get rid of that sin. So God said, I'm going to send my son and he's going to die on the cross. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And Jesus died on the cross so we have a way to be forgiven of our sin that we've committed. So how do we receive? And Romans 5:8 says that. God demonstrates his love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I brought that up this week. A lot of you know, probably heard about the club that was started at school. Some of the kids here, the youth, right? They started a gay pride club this week in Marshville High School. For y'all that don't know, and there's a lot of anger by some kids in high school that are like, I can't believe this. Let's go beat them up. Let's pound them, right? And I challenged them this week on Facebook, and I said, no. We got to show them love. We got to show them the same love that Christ showed us when he went to the cross. That he died for us while we were yet sinners. Not when we thought we were good and clean, but he died while we were still sinners, right? And so God demonstrated his love, that love that you guys sang about, that they sang about, that he demonstrated that kind of love when he was willing to die for our sins. So how do we receive that forgiveness of our sins? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. That's it. There's nothing you can do. We talk a lot here about service. We talk a lot about getting out and getting busy. We talk a lot about serving the kingdom in various ways. And let me say this morning too, that you can serve the Lord and serve the Savior with the gifts and talents you do. And that doesn't mean you necessarily have to knock on doors. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to be involved with a certain ministry. God's given you gifts that you can use to serve the kingdom. And I hope you're using them, right? So, but that doesn't get us anywhere. That service that we do, we talk a lot about it, but there's no amount of serving or working that you can do to get your way into heaven. And there's so many people across our country, and maybe even here this morning, that are come here this morning and are using Crossbridge Baptist Church as a way to get into heaven, they think. Well, I'm going to come and do my time this morning, and I'm going to check off some box. And you're going to, you know what's sad? What's so sad about that is that people do that, and then they stand, when they ultimately die, they stand before God, and they're ready to bust heaven's gates wide open. And God looks at them and says, I don't know who you are. Depart from me. Because they used to try to use their work and their own goodness to get themselves into heaven, and we can't do that. And Ephesians 2:9 says this, salvation is not a reward for the good things that you have done, so none of us can boast about it. You hear what I'm saying? That means if you claim to be a Christian in here this morning, you didn't do anything to get that title. God did it. So you can't boast about it. We can't brag about it. So when I'm addressing like this club with my kids, don't boast that we're a Christian. Boast in Christ. That he opened our eyes and that we're not blind to his word. In Romans chapter 1, I quoted Romans chapter 12 to them. Romans chapter 1, was it 1 or 12? I'm getting off track, but that's okay. It was Romans chapter 1, that God has, that they're blinded, and he's given them up for their deceitful minds, right? So we can't boast that we're sitting here this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ, because we didn't do anything to get that. So we can't boast with it. But God loves us so much. God loves us so much this morning that he was willing to send his son to die. I want you to think about that. His son, to die for you, to die for me. Think about that. I want you to get that in your head this morning. How many of you have kids in here? Okay. Anybody willing to sacrifice their kid this morning for somebody sitting next to you? No way. No way. I love you guys in here, but there is no way if somebody said, Jeff, sacrifice Hunter for one of you, that I would do it. That's what God did. He was willing to do that for us. I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that. Because we get salty as Christians, and we forget that. This is basics of Christianity, but you need to remember it. So when we get hard and we start talking about unforgiveness, I want you to remember how much God forgave you from. And if you can't do that this morning, you got problems, and you need to get down on your knees and humble yourself. I want you to remember how much he forgave you from this morning as we go through this. Second thing. So we have to have forgiveness from God. To have forgiveness for anything else, we have to have forgiveness from God. And we have to remember that forgiveness. The second thing is, the second hang up here and the thing that causes people to stumble so much is not forgiving themselves. Not getting a point to their life where they can forgive themselves for the things that have happened in their own life. 1 John 1:9 says this. It's an encouraging verse this morning. I want this to encourage you. I know I'm an emotional guy sometimes. I want you this to encourage you, this verse. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means he's faithful and just to cleanse you from your sins. So you know what that means? That means they're gone. That means they're gone. When you cleanse something, it's gone. When you cleanse something, it's gone. And that's exactly what he says in Psalms 103:12. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now here's the battle that takes place. Satan is going to start getting after you and trying to deceive you and remind you of your past. He's going to start telling you that you're not good enough. You can't serve in a church. You can't even. How many times do we hear when we go visit people, they say, I can't come into church. Because if I walked into church, lightning would strike me dead, right? That's Satan talking to them and telling them, you can't go to church because you're not good enough, right? Well, he does that to Christians too. When he says, you remember what you did? I'm sure, no, I don't believe it says in Scripture, but I'm sure, you know how often Satan probably wanted to remind Paul of his past? And Paul had to move on beyond that in order to fulfill his mission that God had given him. We have to be able to move beyond that. You're not good enough. You're not good enough to serve. Some of the most powerful examples of Scripture in Scripture are men with a checkered past that God used. An example is Paul. He probably wrote, 14 books in the New Testament. God used them, but he had a checkered past. He had to get beyond it. I can go through example after example. Peter, we talked about. Old Testament examples, Moses, Samson, King David, Matthew, a tax collector. Matthew was so good. I love the book of Matthew, but Matthew was so good at being a tax collector that they promoted him to chief tax collector. He was so good at stealing money that they wanted him to be the chief tax collector. God used him. Why? Why? Because God won't tolerate human pride. So he chooses people and he uses people that aren't boastful. There's nothing to be proud about. He uses them because they humble themselves. Next thing on this is that Christ has set you free. We talked about this verse this morning, and back there he started going on about freedom in Christ and unforgiveness, and I said, did I send you some of my sermon notes this morning, right? This is one of those verses, Galatians 5:1. For freedom in Christ has set us free. Stand firm and don't submit to the yoke of slavery. So when Christ has set you free from your past, listen, when Christ has set you free from your past, stop going back and wallowing in it. Stop going back to the old way of life. I mean, isn't that what we have to tell people a lot, Mike? Isn't it? That when you get free from your past, don't go back to it. Stop going back to the people you used to hang out with. And I'm using that in context, but that's the truth. Stop going back to your old way of life. He set you free. Stop going back to the memories of the old life. Get them out of your head. They're out of Christ's head. They're gone to him. So stop going back to them. They were nailed to the cross with Jesus. You're free of those. So stop going back to them. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let me ask this morning, where is the Spirit of the Lord? Where is the Holy Spirit? If you're a follower of Christ, it's in your heart. It's in your life. It's in your mind. So you're free. You're free. So stop going back. This should be encouraging to us. So stop looking at our past. Move on. Move on. Now the other thing. So when we have forgiveness, we have to remember. I want to go over this again. We have to remember what all we've been forgiven from Christ. What all he did for us. Second thing is forgive yourself. Move on. Move on. Move on. Now, the hardest, I think, in my opinion, the hardest thing for us to do now is how do we forgive others? How do we forgive others? How do we forgive others? Turn to Luke chapter 17, excuse me, verse 3 through 4. Luke 17, 3 through 4. Luke 17, 3 through 4 says this. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Verse 4 in the King James Version, you know what it says? It says, thou shalt. thou shalt forgive them. You know where else you see thou shalt in Scripture? If you go back to Exodus chapter 20, it's the Ten Commandments. Do it. You know what that means? It's not an option. I don't get to choose whether I want to do it. It doesn't say maybe, if I feel like it, if I like the person, if they're a friend of me. It says do it. Thou shalt do it. Thou shalt do it. Now I'm going to talk about, I want to say this morning that it, where it says, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. Because it's also key, if we've offended somebody, and they come to us and say, you've offended me, you hurt me. It's not for us. You know why we're stumbling this morning? Because it's not up for us to offer a defense of ourselves and say, but I didn't really do that, and decide to debate it. It's for us to say, I'm sorry that I hurt you. It's not for us to say, I'm sorry you feel like that. It's for us to say, I'm sorry I hurt you. That's on the person that committed the sin who is supposed to be a brother in Christ, right? There's a part to that. And if the person genuinely says, I'm sorry that I hurt you, I'm sorry that I did that, then Scripture says you must forgive him. It's not an option. You must do it. So Jesus commands that we must. That's not an option. And if you decide that you want it to be an option, I want you to remember the first point of the sermon, that God didn't put stipulations on you. He said, I forgive you. And remember how much he forgave you from. And remember that that same measure that you use to forgive is how he would forgive you. So you have to refer back. You have to refer back. You know how I know that we have people in our lives, and I'm going to tell you, I'm preaching to myself this morning, where I have people even in my own life that I just don't want to see because of things that have happened in the past. Because if I see them out in town, if I see them at the store, you know what I do? I try to avoid them. I try to put my head down like I didn't run in, I didn't actually see them. I don't, Lord, I didn't actually see them, even though I did, so I don't have to talk to them. We do that. And you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit telling us, get it right between you and them. But instead, we just avoid them. Or we do the, remember the fight or flight? We're either going to fight it out or I'm just going to run. I'm going to run away. And that's exactly what we do. By avoiding that person, I'm just going to avoid them. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And here's the deal. There are consequences for that kind of behavior. When we do that, there are consequences. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, this is what it says. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Forgive, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. But here's what we do. And I know I'm guilty of this. Our attitude is, well, we start to justify. Well, they're not a good person, or they're in the wrong. I'm the good person. I did right here, and they're doing wrong. And you know what you're doing? You're justifying yourself. And I want you to refer back to the first part of this sermon, that we're not good. We're not good. No one's good. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So stop justifying ourselves. Here's what happens. It starts to affect our relationship with God when we hold grudges and we don't offend, and we don't forgive, and we don't make things right. It starts to affect our relationship with God. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, 23 through 27. Matthew chapter 5, 23 through 27. Says this, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. I want to remind you, this is between Christians here. We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 24, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. You know, there's warnings, and I never thought about this before until I was really digging in Friday night and Saturday on this. There's warnings to both people in this. There's a warning to the person who wants to come and not forgive. It says, leave your sacrifice altar. God says, I don't want your sacrifice. I don't want you to worship me if you got somebody against something against your brother. He says, leave it. It starts to affect your worship. But then if you notice, the person that you're upset with, that somebody is accusing you, so say, I don't know, my good buddy here, Ian, is really mad at me about something. He comes to me and he says, Jeff, you hurt me. You offended me. And he's after me. And he's wanting to get forgiveness and reconciliation from me. And then at that point, I start to argue with him. And I start to debate him. Then verse 27 comes, what does it say? Come to terms quickly with your accuser before you're dragged into court. That means that it's my responsibility to humble myself and say, Ian, I love you, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I hurt you. It is not my responsibility to debate whether I was guilty or not. You know why? Because he is stumbling because of me. And I don't want to put a stumbling block in front of him. So I want to say, I'm sorry. Regardless, I want to say I'm sorry because I don't want him to stumble. I don't want him to be like old Rose stumbling around in the field and have to get put down, right? I don't, because he's a brother in Christ. So it's my responsibility to say, I'm sorry, with no strings attached, with no, well, I didn't really do it. He feels like that. He was hurt. It's my responsibility to say, I'm sorry, and keep my mouth shut, whether I believe it or not. Whether I believe it or not. Romans 14:13 says this. Verse we read this morning again. I want to read it again. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. If I, by my actions, am causing one of my fellow brothers or sisters in Christ to stumble, you know what? I'm guilty according to Romans. It don't matter whether I feel like it, I am or not. I am. And I need to ask, I need to say, I'm sorry. I want to make this right. I want to reconcile with you. That brings us to our next point. All right, reconciliation. Here now Jesus takes this even a step further. Jesus takes unforgiveness and forgiveness even a step further. When he says in this passage, if you know that somebody has issues with you, you go and make it right with them. You don't wait on them. You go and do the right thing. But now, I mean, come on, Jeff. You don't understand. This person has done a lot of horrible things. They are a horrible person. They have offended me and my family a lot. They've hurt me. Remember the first part of the sermon. Go back and remember how much you've been forgiven from. And when you humble yourself and you do that, reconciliation happens. When we don't and we're prideful and we boast ourselves up, it affects our relationship. If you don't, it affects your worship and it affects your relationship with Christ directly. Go and be reconciled. To those persons that Jesus sends us to be reconciled with, he says, go and leave your offering. Now here's a question. This is a question that can be brought up. What if they're not open to reconciliation? I mean, what if you try to go and you try to work this out and they're just stubborn and they're hard-headed and they're not remembering the first part of the sermon? What do we do then? What then? Paul, in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, says this, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live in peace with others. So as much as it depends on you, live in peace to others. What does that mean? Does that mean we shouldn't try to make amends? No. Let me read the whole thing. Romans 12, 19 through 21 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. Wow. It don't matter if they want reconciliation or not. It doesn't matter, according to Christ. You do what you're supposed to do. You let God worry about that person. You stop letting it affect you and your life. You let God worry about it. Here's the thing. We are to do everything that we can to be reconciled with the person as long as we remain loyal to the truth of God's word. We have to remain loyal to that. Matthew 5:9 says this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Jesus does not say here, "Blessed are the peacekeepers." A peacekeeper is somebody who would avoid confrontation at all costs to try to maintain peace, even if it means compromising the truth. You ever heard of UN peacekeepers? You ever heard of the UN peacekeepers? United Nations peacekeepers. They get sent to countries around the world. And their job, when they send in UN peacekeepers to a particular country, is to keep the battle or the fighting that's going on from getting too close to a particular area, basically. So a lot of times they're sent in to defend a city or a government building. And in spite of these UN peacekeepers, when they're sent into a country, thousands of people are slaughtered all over, right? I mean, they don't really do a whole lot of good most of the time. Maybe they may protect the building, but thousands of people are still getting killed. A peacemaker, that's a peacekeeper. A peacemaker, on the other hand, goes in love, they confront, and they bring truth so that when reconciliation happens, it's going to endure. It's not going to fall back. So there's a difference. See, if I just always want to keep the peace, that means I'm going to compromise what's right or wrong because I don't want anyone to get upset or offended or I just don't want to do that, right? No. That's not what he's saying. I'm not a peacekeeper. I'm a peacemaker. I want to go to the person. God in this way with us, God is not willing that any should perish, but he will not compromise truth for a relationship. God seeks reconciliation, but not at the expense of truth. Too often, guys, we even live in regret where we say, if I had only done this. Paul is saying, be loyal to the word, do what you can, and leave the rest to him. So how do we approach people? One word, humility. We're humble. We have to humble ourselves. There may be times when you totally disagree, but the willingness is there to consider what is being said. If somebody comes to me and says, you hurt me, you offended me, I may totally disagree with them, but I need to keep my mouth shut and I need to listen to what they have to say. I need to listen and I need to take a step back and I need to remember Paul's words. As much as it depends on you, live in peace with others. So my question for you this morning is, who do you need to go and make amends with? They could be here this morning. They could be your parents. It could be your brother or sister. It could be a coworker. I'm going to tell you, I know this message is for brothers and sisters in Christ because one of the biggest things that will destroy is when we don't forgive one another. And guys, Satan is going to try to get in any way that he can, any way that he can. Open yourself up for the freedom that comes when that forgiveness happens. I'll tell you a story. I've told you guys this before. A long time ago I told you this, but I was an aggravator. Oh man, I was honored when I was younger. And I loved to aggravate my sister. My sister's 2 years older than me. And I remember one Saturday, it wasn't a Saturday, it was one summer. During the summer, me and my sister were at home, and I was probably, 12. She was probably 14. And kids don't know this day, but girls back then were notorious note takers. You guys are texters now, right? Back in the day, and you guys remember what I'm talking about. People would write notes in class and they'd pass them in class, right? Well, my sister was a famous note taker. And my sister had a note, I'm sure it was over boys, and she was in her room reading this note. And me being ornery, I ran into her room and I snatched that note right out of her hand and I took off across the house at 100 miles an hour trying to get away. And she was hot on pursuit. And I ran into my room and I slammed the door behind me. And my parents didn't have locks on the doors, which is a good thing, parents. Take them locks off. But that's a whole nother sermon. But I got up against that door, right? And I'm home free. And my sister, it must have been an important note because I didn't have a chance to read it. My sister hit that door. And I mean, the door busted off the hinges and went on the other side of me. And I'm standing there looking at my sister face to face with the door behind me. And she grabs the note and heads back to her room. And I'm thinking, we are dead. we're at home by ourselves and we're dead. And I got to try to fix the door. And the, I mean, the, it's busted. And so I go get the toolbox and I go into the room and I'm working. And my sister's like, I don't care. It's your fault. And she goes back to the room and I'm like, I know it's my fault because I started this. So I start working on the door and I got the toolbox out and I get the door up and I left. Kids, don't leave the toolbox out. I left the toolbox on the kitchen table. And my dad got home from work, and I'm like, hi, Dad, how are you? And you know how you played off. And he said, what's the toolbox out for? And about that time, the door goes and crashes on the floor, right? I mean, I was a famous aggravator with my sister. But I want to tell you, my sister, I love her to death. She is my family, and there's nothing that I wouldn't do for my mom or my dad or my sister. Because she's my family. Now, I want you to think about this morning. I love my family, and I will always be there for them. But what are we called here? When I baptize somebody, I baptize them in the name of the Father. I baptize you my brother. I baptize you my sister. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Christ actually puts more of more of an emphasis on our relationships in here than he does even family blood relationships. We are brothers and sisters in Christ in here. I should be able to go and forgive and love if I really believe that. And I should be able to get problems done. I know this morning that there are people that have areas in their lives, maybe from the past, that we're dealing with this, holding grudges. Maybe you're here, and you know what? You've just never asked for forgiveness from God, and you're at the very first part of this sermon. You need to come this morning and get down on your knees and ask him to forgive you of the sins that you've committed and ask for a new heart, a new life in him, and new thoughts in him. Maybe you're here today and you have feelings of hurt from the past, feelings of hurt from the past that just you cannot get over. From your own life, things that you've done that are hindering your walk with him. And you need to accept the forgiveness that he's already given you, that those sins are already gone. And maybe you're here this morning, you got people right now, maybe they're out in the community, maybe they're family, maybe they're here, that you know you're going to avoid them. You're going to avoid them like the plague. You're going to avoid them because there's unforgiveness there. Guys, I want to tell you, I don't want a church body like that. That is the biggest thing that can destroy unity is if we don't love each other like brothers and sisters in Christ and be willing to forgive one another. So three questions. Have you asked forgiveness of your sins this morning? Have you asked God to forgive you of your sins and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, made him the Lord of your life? Have you forgiven yourself? Have you turned loose from your past? Jesus died for your sins once. So give them up. Give them up. And do you need today to go and make things right with a fellow brother or sister? As much as it depends on you, live in peace. Or you've got things that you can't get over. You need to just get up and take somebody and pray with them. If you need to do that, now's the time to do it, to get it done. I'm going to ask when we come, and we have an invitation this morning. This is the biggest thing that can destroy disunity in a church. Remember, if somebody's upset with you and you don't agree with them, you think, no. You don't put a stumbling block in front of them. You listen, you ask for forgiveness, you take in their words, and you move on. If you're here this morning, you hold a grudge against somebody, and you haven't forgiven them, that's affecting your relationship with Christ. It's directly affecting your relationship with Christ. And I want to back up to the first point. Remember what Jesus did for you. Remember how much you've been forgiven from. Remember how much you've been forgiven from. When you do that, you humble yourself. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Lord, this is something that I needed to hear this morning. Father, just confessing in front of our church, I need to be more forgiving. I need to humble myself more, not argue about whether I did the crime or not. Father, but I need to do the time and confess it and just ask, just be willing to acknowledge that I've offended people. I'm so bad about that. My family knows it. So, Lord, I ask forgiveness of that. Lord, I ask this morning if there's issues that need to take place, things that need to get resolved, that they get resolved today, not tomorrow, that we don't give Satan a way to get in, that we shut him out this morning. Don't let him plant a seed, Father. We love you. Lord, if there's people here this morning that just want to come and join this body of believers, that, Father, that we accept them as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that they come, that we be there for them and they can serve. If they need to do that, Father, I ask you to give them the courage today to make that commitment. We love you. Father, I thank you for the forgiveness that's found through your Son. Lord, let us humble ourselves now. Let you get all the glory and all the honor for everything that we do. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
People that
let me start. Pat and Ray, would you guys come up here, please? I am so excited that they are here this morning. I have been talking with them for quite a while about coming here and joining us, and they have come this morning and want to make their intentions known to become members here of this church. You guys got anything you want to say? You sure? Okay, they don't want to say anything. They're shy, but I'm going to leave them up here. Brandon and April, come on up here. Somebody else I've had a chance to visit with the last couple of weeks, they have also come this morning and want to become members of this body. They are baptized believers of Him. They come from a Baptist church in Grove Spring. They love Crossbridge. They love what we're doing. You guys got anything you want to say?
Pretty much everything you said.
Okay. He's good. All right. All right. Jared, come up here. Jared has, I'm excited, guys, about Jared. Jared is a local Marshfield guy, and he has made a profession of faith in Christ, that he is going to become a follower of Christ. Wednesday, I'm going to be talking with him about baptism. But give him a hand. So he is going to be obedient in baptism. I'm going to be talking with him Wednesday night about baptism, and we will schedule a baptismal date probably very soon here in the next couple of weeks. I'm excited about that. He also wants to become a member of this body, of this believer. So give him a hand for that also. Yeah. So I'm, I don't know if we're baptizing the James River till, I don't know. As warm as it's been, though, we may not have a problem doing a river baptism, but we'll talk about that Wednesday. I may have to defer to some of our elders if we do a river baptism in December. Yeah. So, guys, I'm excited for this morning. I want you to remember what we talked about today. And guys, let's do it. If we have things we need to do, let's do it. I love you all. I want you to come around when we close in prayer, and I want you to welcome them in. I want you to congratulate all of them. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're going to be here to serve the kingdom here. So, Ian, would you close us in prayer?